Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, John Kaminsky, and this morning's conversation is with Ralph Basham, Commissioner, U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Also joining our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM. Ralph, Congress passed the Security and Accountability for Every Port Act, or SAFE Act, about a year ago. What's the status of its implementation, and how does it help your agency do a better job?
We believe that the Safe Port Act actually did, in fact, codify those things that we have been doing. In talking about CTPAT, as I mentioned before, the Customs and Trade Partnership Against Terrorism, to expand that, the Container Security Initiative, CSI, to expand that, in fact, to even expand it to the what we're calling this Secure Freight Initiative, which expands our presence in overseas ports. It asked that directed that we create a third-party validation process by which we are out working with the trade to validate whether or not the security enhancements that are required within CTPAT are actually being carried out. So we believe that this the Act codified what we're doing, gave us direction in terms of what they would like to see us do to enhance those safeguards. And right now, we are in 52 ports around the country where we have our presence for Customs and Border Protection employees working with our foreign counterparts to look at these 11 million-plus containers coming to the United States and to determine from a risk-based strategy which one of those containers should or should not be loaded upon a vessel that comes to the United States. We've also been directed to pilot ports overseas that will be doing an integrated inspection, which would include both radiation detection as well as inspecting for other threats that may be posed in those containers. Mm-hmm. By the end of 08, we expect to be in 58 ports, which would be approximately 85% of the cargo coming to the United States will go through a screening prior to departing for the United States. And let me just clarify when I talk about screening or inspection. We get advanced information in the way of entry data that is filed by the shipper, the importer, and we take that data and we run it against a set of targeting tools and rule sets to make that determination as to whether or not that particular container may pose a threat. So we look at every single container from that perspective, and then if we determine that we need to do another level of inspection, then our employees in these ports do, in fact, work with the foreign government to inspect it further. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that every single container that is coming to the United States has been opened and the contents looked at. If we were to have to do that, it would literally shut down world trade because the amount of time that it would take for us to stop the shipment, to physically inspect it, would be so time-consuming that we couldn't move products and services around the world. Mm-hmm. So it has to be a risk-based approach, and that's why it's so important to determine the type of information we need in advance using the kinds of tools that we have to analyze that information and then make the determination as to what does, in fact, pose a risk.
You were mentioning this Secure Freight Initiative. Right. I understand that it includes this concept of a trade data fusion center and that Deputy Secretary Michael Jackson announced recently that they were going to develop some pilot called a global trade exchange to turn this concept into reality. Could you tell us a little bit about how this global trade exchange fits into your multi-layer security strategy?
Well, we are still working with the trade to make a determination exactly what that is going to look like. It would probably be somewhat premature for me to describe exactly what the end product is going to be. Mm-hmm. The Deputy Secretary feels very strongly that trade is really the answer to developing a global system mm-hmm. in order to be able to determine from a global perspective what may be a threat and what's not a threat. But the idea that you have one entity that is collecting information on trade that's moving throughout the world mm-hmm. and that whether it's the importer or the shipper can provide that information into this centralized process. And then if you have a need for that information, that you go into that system and take out whatever information is necessary, whether it be for purposes of collecting of revenue, whether it be for information that may be security related. Now, to suggest that that's not a very difficult process to go through to finally determine what that's going to be and how it's going to be coordinated. But I think he believes that this can't be something that the U.S. government can do. Because for someone or some entity or some government, foreign government or shipper that would not want to be putting information into a U.S. government-controlled entity. So creating a sort of a MasterCard sort of approach to doing business where it's all, you know, all that information goes in and that's then disseminated out. So that's the idea because we are living in a global society when it comes to trade. Right now, the trade, the amount of containerized cargo that is going to be moving into this country alone is predicted to go from 11 million containers now, double by 2015 and triple by 2025. Wow. And so to manage that, we're going to have to look at different systems, different business models. Mm-hmm. And I believe the deputy secretary is challenging the private sector to come up with possible solutions in order to face those future challenges.
So you mentioned a minute ago that if you crack open every container, you shut down global trade. So CBP has recently initiated a request for advanced information, also known as 10 plus 2. What benefits come from collecting this information, and how's that going to be implemented going forward as well?
The security filing, or 10 plus 2 as you referred to it, gives us additional data. And let me just say right now, we have been working very, very closely with COAC, which is the Commercial Operators Advisory Committee, and it's made up of approximately 20 companies and entities that we work with to develop these kinds of processes. And we've been working over the last several years with COAC to come up with a list of data items that we feel are necessary in order to give us better insight into what it is that's coming into the country. These are data elements that deal with security. Now, this is not about compliance. We're not using the system to determine whether or not an importer or shipper is in compliance. These are strictly for the purpose of determining what presents a security risk. So we work very closely with them to come up with these 12 additional data elements. So we are going to be driving very hard to get those additional data elements into place, hopefully by the end of this year. The more information we have, the more advanced information we have, the more specific that information is, the better we are going to be able to manage the incredible numbers of containerized cargo that is coming into the United States. Without that, without those tools, we just don't believe that we can manage this in a way that is balancing between security and facilitation. And I believe are going to be able to provide us that ability to move that trade even more efficiently. In fact, it said before we instituted CTPAT and CSI and some of these other programs that these security enhancements were going to bring trade to a grinding halt. And just recently, the World Bank released an article that stated it had actually greased the wheels, that it made it more efficient. So it's been an interesting process to go through. But I think not only does it secure this country, but it actually is helping to move trade.
So there's another strategy here as well. And we've talked a lot about the collection of advanced information and using data to be able to narrow down the haystack. And not to oversimplify this, but there's also the possibility to be able to examine containers without opening them, to look for the presence of radiological materials, to use advanced technology such as advanced spectroscopic portals, things of this nature. What are some of the things that you're doing with advanced technology to be able to scan containers without opening them?
Well, we are about to deploy our 1,000th portal radiation detectors here in this country. And again, the advanced spectroscopic radiation detection equipment is not only going to be able to tell us whether or not there may be radiation present, but it will be able to tell us the type. It will be able to identify it because there are certain products out there that create the false positives, in terms of it alerting on a product, whether it may be Italian marble or kitty litter or whatever the case may be. This advanced spectroscopic will give us that ability to be able to identify and measure that and tell us, okay, we do not have to inspect that because that is this product. That's what we're moving toward and testing as we speak, as well as working to improve the other types of technology, the non-intrusive types of technology, the X-ray, gamma ray type of where you're able to scan a, let's just say, a trailer. Mm-hmm. And be able to see in that trailer and identify anomalies that may exist because you're looking at an entry document and it tells you that you've got a certain product. Let's just say they're tennis shoes. You know the density and you know all the physics about that particular product. And when you scan a container and you see that there are anomalies in that shipment, that's when you actually pull that shipment aside and inspect it. So that's the sort of technology that we're working.
So one of the things that becomes obvious as we talk through this, you mentioned statistics early in the program with the numbers of millions of trucks and cargo containers and people that come through our ports on an annual basis. One of the things that's important in that is your ability to be able to communicate effectively with trade. And I'm not sure if all of our listeners are aware of the fact for many years, CBP has been modernizing its technology capability to communicate with trade through the automated commercial environment. Right. Can you give a little bit of an overview of what ACE, the automated commercial environment, is and what milestones you expect upcoming?
Well, ACE, the automated commercial environment, was created VACTA under former Commissioner Von Raab, who basically put out the challenge that unless you move from a paper process to an electronic process, then you are not going to survive. And so the idea of creating electronic filing for shippers, importers, has been underway for many years. We have, I believe it's 26 different government agencies that now are a part of ACE. And that what that means is that a shipper or an importer or whoever that needs to get information either from or put into the federal government can go through a one-stop shopping process. And ACE is truly, in my opinion, the key to our success in managing all of those statistics that we talked about earlier. Whether it's the ability for a freight company to be able to file an electronic manifest before it arrives at our port of entry, and the ability to analyze that information and process that information, and again, be able to move that through a port. That is where ACE, I believe, provides the greatest benefit, and that is through facilitation and the ability for those entities out there to come to the government and only one place in the government.
Well, what does the future hold for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection? We will ask Ralph Basham, Commissioner, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.